defeated, that God that reigns victorious. So because of that, come on up. We just want to invite you up to the altar. We want to invite you. There's a whole bunch of space over here. So if you're not comfortable being around a whole lot of people, you can come over here. There's like a bunch of cubic square inch, whatever. Space, praise space is what we're going to call it. It's praise space. All right? So come on up. Come on and sing this with me. So we love to call your name in something we cannot explain. That happens when we proclaim your great name. Say your great name. To call
hey,
we cannot explain that happens when I proclaim your greatness. See your greatness.
See
King Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's nobody stronger. See, we can call on him and everything has to change. If you believe it.
Things change when I call
you. Lord God. Hallelujah. No. You got to have a better praise than that. If you want something to change, you got to have a bigger, better praise than that. Because we serve a bigger, better God than that. Hallelujah. So on three, when I say three, I want you through shout and praise, give all of your anxiety to him because he cares for you. Give all of your fears to him for he cares for you. Give all of your cares to him for he cares for you. All right? So one, two, three. Come on. Yeah! Come on. So now if you feel free, then you have a reason to dance, right? Come on, if you feel free, now that you not only feel free, but you are made free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed, you have a reason to dance, right? Hey.
I have a reason to dance, hallelujah. He gave me a reason to dance.
Say he gave me.
He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a...
Y'all looking like I'm foolish. Come on and dance.
He gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah. He gave me a reason to dance. He gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah. Gave me a reason.
See, you gotta be comfortable with being free, right?
He gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah. He gave me a reason to dance. He gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah. He gave me a reason.
Say, he gave me a reason to shout.
He gave me a reason to shout, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to shout. He gave me a reason to shout, hallelujah. He gave me a reason to shout.
Say he gave me a reason to jump.
He gave me a reason to jump, hallelujah. He gave me a reason to jump. He gave me a reason to jump. My grave clothes. See, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for my Savior got up in victory.
Dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the Son sets free is free.
You're truly free indeed.
Morning's here and I'm grateful.
Cause the Savior.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for the Savior God.
Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Be happy.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful.
To dance.
Gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance.
Because you have to call it like it is.
Gave me a reason to dance,
right.
Hallelujah.
Because it says that praise literally confuses the enemy.
Gave me a reason
so if you're dancing,
dance,
that means the enemy can't touch you. He don't know which step you're going to make. He don't know which way you're going
to
go. Come on, y'all.
Gave me a reason to dance,
you got to juke out the enemy now. Say he gave me a reason to shout.
Say
I'm dancing. Come on and lift your hands and say, He gave me a reason to sing.
He gave me a reason to sing.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Gave me a reason to sing.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Gave me a reason to sing.
You ain't got
to
sing well. You just got to sing. He gave me a reason to sing. If you sing unto the Lord a new song, a new song. Hallelujah. Y'all got it. Come on, you're loosening it up. Come on, come on, shake it off. Hey, we're going to say dance, and I want you to dance. Come on.
He gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah.
Come on, you can dance. See, my pastor can dance too.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes, yeah. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Yeah. Morning's here and I'm grateful.
Cause the Savior,
God.
One more time, say I'm dancing.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes, whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful.
Cause the Savior got up. Joyful noise. Lift a joyful noise. Come on, unto the Lord. Unto the Lord, because He is grateful. Hallelujah. He is great. He is mighty. Come on. This is how we fight our battles. Come on. Hallelujah. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're in the spirit realm. We're spiritual. We're supernatural. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's worship, guys. He's amazing, isn't He? He's so holy. He's so mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship You. Hallelujah.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet,
yeah,
on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
And it makes me want to shout.
It makes me want to shout. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Father God.
Thank You, Jesus,
Lord, You're worthy.
Lord, You're worthy.
All of the glory and all of the honor. When I think about
the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised,
how He filled me up
with the Holy Ghost,
and how He healed me.
Lord, You'll heal me. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground.
What does it make you want to do?
it makes me want to shout.
And sing that, sing that. He raised me and he healed me. He healed me. Oh Lord, you filled me up. Hallelujah. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Hallelujah. I was blind, but now I see.
He raised me.
Hallelujah. Lord, you healed my body. Come on, God, and you fill me, Lord. Even now, he's saving you right now. Lift your hands and say,
you saved me.
Yeah.
He raised me.
He raised me, Father God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you filled me up. Hallelujah. Come on, last time, say, he saved me.
He saved me.
Hallelujah. Personal, say you saved me, Father.
You saved me,
because you're the only one that can save my body.
You raised
you're
me.
The only one that can raise me up to new glory.
You healed me.
Hallelujah, Lord.
You filled yeah, yeah. Me.
Come on and sing it if you believe it. Say you saved
you
me.
Saved me.
Healing bodies right now. Cancer's gotta go, yeah, yeah. Depression's gotta go, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, Lord, you saved me. Hallelujah, Lord, you saved my life.
You raised me.
Lord, you raised me up.
You healed me.
Hallelujah, Lord, and you healed my body.
You healed
hallelujah.
Me.
Hallelujah, last time, say you saved me.
You saved me.
Hallelujah, and you raised me.
You raised me.
Hey. And Lord, you filled my body.
Hey. You filled me.
And it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
It makes and all the honor and all the praise. Come on, just a voice to say, it makes me wanna shout,
hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Thank you, Father. Come on and lift God up. Come on and lift God up. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for blessing us, Lord, Father. Hallelujah, Lord, you're holy.
Someone tell him he's worthy today. You're so worthy. Thank you for gracing us with your presence, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for inhabiting our praises this morning, Lord. You're so faithful to give us what we need. Hallelujah. There's no one like you.
Holy, holy, holy.
have pneumonia. I think it's the onset of, you're just feeling very heavy in your chest, your head's saying different colds. It's actually an onset of pneumonia, and I curse it in the name of Jesus. I command your lungs to clear up in Jesus' name. Even now, you start taking deep breaths. I think, what is it? On the third deep breath, you're going to feel a release in your chest in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you're moving in your midst. God, people are being healed. Thank you for those that were healed in first service. God, thank you for those that you touched them. Lord, the ears that you opened up even last night in the middle of the night. God, I thank you that woman, you healed her ears. I thank you, God, for the woman that was healed of vertigo right in the middle of the preaching of the word. For your word brings power. God, and I thank you for the one that you just healed with pneumonia. God, I just cover this house in Jesus' name against the flu. Lord, I know that everyone says they're just going to get it because it's going around, but I declare we're the sons and daughters of God. I declare that we are the righteous of heaven. Lord, that healing and health is ours to have. So I declare, God, when the flu virus hits us, it is literally going to shrivel up and die on our bodies. God, over our children, we just correct, oh God, and we cover them right now, Father, with an umbrella of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And we declare, God, health over your house for the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. I said, everybody said, amen. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Amen. How many of you are confused already this morning coming in and trying to find a chair? We want you to know you're going to be all right. Why don't you take the next few minutes, go find somebody you don't know and say, hey, I'm just as confused as you are. Amen. My girl. Praise the Lord, you've got 24 seconds, 23, 22, 21 seconds. Meet somebody you don't know and say, good morning, you look wonderful today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, let's go ahead and find our seats. There's plenty to choose from. Go ahead. Even if you don't know the person you are sitting next to, that's okay. Just say, hello, my name is. Awesome, awesome. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. Who is excited to be in the house of the Lord? Okay, all three of y'all. Thank you, Pastor Rhonda. Who else is excited to be in the house of the Lord? Amen, amen. And once again, welcome to our 11 a.m. service. At this time, we want to just honor our first-time guests. If this is your first time here to worship with us, can I see you just lift up your hand like this? Any first-time guests? I don't think I see any hands. Is there somebody that I'm missing? I don't want to miss anybody. Lift it high, lift it high. Awesome. Well, in the event that you are being shy, you do not want to raise your hand, I want to still invite you to our guest reception afterwards. It is on the opposite side of this wall right after the service. You cannot miss it. There's big signs right there. You get to meet some people on staff, get some free coffee, and want to just tell you thank you so much for coming to worship with us today. We also want to say hello to our live stream. Can y'all put your hands together for our live stream? Thank you so much for tuning in every single week. You are in for a treat. Today's service is going to be amazing. Right, we have two announcements for you. First of all, if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, we want to invite you to our Awaken Young Adult service tonight. It's going to be so exciting. We have our Battle of the Sexes theme. I cannot wait for the guys to whoop the ladies. It's going to be so much fun. We have a dodgeball tournament, we have tailgate party food, and I believe that when my wife loses, whoever's the losing pastor, they're going to get dumped with a bucket of ice water. So I'm really excited for that, to see her hair all messed up. In addition, we have a panel that will be talking to you guys about all things concerning marriage and dating, and on that panel will be our very own senior pastors. So again, if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, we want to see you here tonight at 6 p.m. You do not want to miss it. Also, next Sunday is our annual business meeting. Amen. We are very, very excited about what God is doing in this house. I want to let you know that every dollar that you sow, every time that you give, that you're not only advancing this church, but you're also advancing the kingdom of God. So at this meeting, you get to find out all the great, cool, phenomenal, exciting things that are happening at our church. Now, next week, we'll be doing it, instead of after service, we'll be doing it before service at 7:45 a.m. Say that's early, but we want to make sure that we can get some food in you. So please RSVP right outside so we can have enough food for a light breakfast. So again, that is next Sunday, February 16th. And how about you just come explain that?
We want to make sure that you are here. Our outside accountant from Colorado is actually going to be running the meeting. He's been doing the church's finances for 11 years. And so we want to encourage you to be there. I think it's going to be very important for you. Some of you have had questions, and questions are good. We will be answering them next week.
Great. At this time, please turn your attention to the screen for some video announcements.
Hey, are you wondering why you're here? Or maybe you're new. Can I tell you the best place for you to start is Growth Track. Every single Sunday morning at 9:30, there's snacks, there's childcare, there's amazing teaching about this church and about yourself that we'd love to have you a part. And what's great about it is it leads into the next thing for you, which could be next steps, including Rock Solid Faith and step 2 and 3, or even into groups. But we'd love to see you as a part of this church, not just sitting, but being a part of the church, which changes everything. Make sure you sign up today for Growth Track next week at 9:30 a.m.
Awesome. At this time, we want to enter into our time of tithes and offerings. So in your seat, there should be a blue envelope. If you don't have one, just lift up your hands and our ushers will be getting one into your hands. As you are preparing your offering, I want to just share with you very quickly. Yesterday, I took both of my boys out to Ithaca, and we had some fun. And then after some time, it became lunchtime, and I took them out to Chipotle, which is the will of God. And it was so great. But during this time at Chipotle, my boys decided to try to start to manifest, and it got incredibly ugly. My oldest one started throwing himself around, and it just got so bad, and I almost lost my testimony, almost like resigned my job. It was bad because I wanted to hurt him. Be real with me, parents. Have you ever been embarrassed with your child in public? Oh, so that was me yesterday. But there's a story in Mark chapter 12 about Jesus being at the temple at the time where people came to give. And there were people that had no big wads of money. They were making a show of how much money they were going to give. But there was this widow that came in, and she gave merely 2 coins. And Jesus began to speak about how it was a great thing that, number one, she showed up, and number two, there was no embarrassment about how much she had to give. Can I encourage you this morning that, unlike how I was with my boys yesterday, God is not embarrassed with you about how much you're going to give today. It's not about the size of the check, although we'd love them, M-I-L-L-I-O-N, Pastor. But see, as it was with her, it was not about the amount that she gave. It was the fact that she came and she gave from a place of a pure heart. You see, Jesus began to say that all these people that had all this money, they came from what was just left over, but she gave with what was her best. And I want to tell you that God is not looking for what is left over. He's looking for your best. So as you give today with your best, as you put it into the hands of the Master, He'll begin to do so much more than you can ever ask, think, imagine, or dream. Amen? So if you're ready, you can stand up to your feet. And we're ready not to just give God what is left over, not to give Him what is just more than enough, but to give Him our best today. So if you're ready, you can put your offering in the air and repeat after me our supernatural declaration. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. You can make your way up to the front to give your offering. If you're watching online, click on that giving button. And today you're going to give your best and watch God do a supernatural work in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Woo, I hope you're ready and buckled down today. We got a message and a half. Hallelujah. I'm excited. How many of you are enjoying the change in seating? Yeah, not as many hands. I didn't figure. Turn to someone and say, don't get comfortable. Tell somebody else, don't get comfortable. What happens is, and we've actually, it's amazing as you'll find in prior times, I've changed the sanctuary around multiple ways, and we'll probably continue to do that. And you say to yourself, why do we do that, Pastor? Well, I had my seat. I sit in the same spot every week, and right now I came into the sanctuary and I'm late. and I didn't know where to go. Pastor, I don't understand. Listen, when they did a study on churches that were dying, there's a great book called The Autopsy of a Dying Church. They studied 14 churches that once were vibrant, on fire from God, and now literally are closed buildings. And the studies that they did was a church ultimately got comfortable where they were. You know what I found is I've done, many people don't know this, but I travel around as a coach and I help pastors build their churches. And many times when you go into a church that's stagnant, the reason is because everyone sat in the same seat, they've gotten comfortable, everything is normal to them, and they no longer have the passion that they used to have. So shaking you up a little bit, turn to someone and say, shaking you up changes everything. Amen. And it's important because you and I need to make sure that we don't get stagnant in our relationship with Jesus Christ or stagnant in the house of God. And as a church, we can never get stagnant. There are too many people that need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm so excited this month already. We have seen, oh my goodness, we have seen 20, I think we have seen over 35 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in this month. God has been so faithful. I love the fact that God is changing lives. God is bringing death to life. I mean, literally, without Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You can be a good person and not go to heaven. You can be a sincere person and not go to heaven. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So as believers, it is so important that we stay linked to understand that the moment we get too comfortable, we start getting lazy, we start getting into a position where we no longer are moving forward. And I'm here to tell you, God is always moving. I said, God is always moving. Amen. We are unstoppable, the supernatural church. Now remember, if we're unstoppable, it also means you can be stoppable. If we're the supernatural church, it also means you can become the natural church. So we have a responsibility in listening to God, obeying God, and staying where we're called to be. God's desire is that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Not just a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. That means you are unstoppable. Man, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, but the truth is that many churches have closed. Sadly enough, I think I shared this last week, I was just in a church this last week. Maybe it was this week. I don't remember. I'm kind of lost in my days. I don't remember what day that was. It was this week. Wow. So you don't know. So this week, I actually was in a church. We got asked as a church to go to this church. And I literally walked into the sanctuary. It's a sanctuary that seats 250 people. And the sanctuary was cold. Why? There was no heat. The only heat was where the three people were that asked me to come because they have now closed the building and it is no longer, there's no pastor, there's no congregation, and the sanctuary is cold because there's nothing there. The fact is that you and I need to make sure that we do what God has called us to do. We are unstoppable, the supernatural church. We are not the natural church. We are the supernatural church. The problem is, if you don't know the difference between the natural church and the supernatural church, then you will fall into a position where you can be easily deceived. The Bible says in the last days that even the elect shall be deceived. Those are people that once understood with clarity where they were going. They have a deep relationship with God. Yet many of them will not make it to the final days. They will actually be deceived by Lucifer through a counterfeit. There will be many that will come and say, "That Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that?" And he'll say, "I don't know you." And he said, he puts them away. There is a need for you and I to grasp this, that the enemy is after your soul. And the enemy is after God's church. But I've got great news for you. The church is unstoppable because we are the supernatural church, not the natural church. Which means when you're the supernatural church, God is working on your behalf. Can I hear an amen? Amen. As we are the church, we've got to know how to tell the difference between the natural and the unnatural, or the supernatural and the natural. And I have found many people struggle because they've never been taught what is the difference between a supernatural church and a natural church. Now, I want to remind you, the natural church is ones that live on their own. How many of you know that Jesus was surrounded by the natural church when he walked on this earth? In fact, there were groups, they were called sects, of groups of people that were very religious. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, because they were sad, you see. The Essenes, the Zealots. There were different religious groups. They walked around. The Pharisees were always my favorite because there were so many different groups within the group. And my favorite one were the Noceum Sadducees. They did not want to look upon a woman to lust, so they would walk with their heads down and their eyes closed. They were known for bumping into walls, falling over, tripping over people because they would not look. How many of you know that's just downright foolishness? Religion will always bring foolishness in your life. But the supernatural church, God is not the author of confusion, and he'll always bring clarity of vision so that you can run the race to win. But if you do not know the difference, the enemy is sly and he is sleek. He is going to try to come in, and the enemy can only counterfeit what Christ has created. The counterfeits are powerful. Why? Well, because they come in looking like they should not be, or they look like what they're trying to become. As a chameleon, they'll take on a visualization and even a vocalization of what they're trying to come. The enemy has always counterfeited. How about a psychic? A psychic can tell you of your past and your present. And what that is doing is that is the counterfeit of the word of knowledge found in the scripture. You see, the church, we must know how Christ has established it, how he has put it into order, so that we can walk in his ways and understand how to identify the fake or the counterfeit over the reality. His church will always be supernatural. I said God's church will always be supernatural. It was so exciting this morning on the driveway, on the way in, one of the ladies in our church, a mature woman, she drove in. She's pulling me over to her car. Now, she usually just drives right by. She waves, of course, but she just drives right by. And she rolled her window down, first time, and she said, "Pastor, I just want you to know that I got healed last night." She says, "I have to wear hearing aids all the time. And last night, in my sleep, God healed my ears, and I don't need hearing aids anymore." She says, "I don't have them in." And in first service, she just raised her hand and, as the identification. That's what God did. We had a woman over on this side during the preaching of the word. Why? Because signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the word. It's a confirmation of the supernatural church. A woman was here, a vertigo, right over here. As the preaching of the word was happening, nobody touched her. Nobody was near her. But Jesus was here. Can I hear an amen? Jesus is the word. Brother Ed was healed this morning. God healed his shoulder during the preaching of the word. No one laid hands on him. But why? Because the church is supernatural, and the church is not just a natural place. This is important for you to know. In the last days, the elect will be deceived to be brought into churches that have a nice story. They look good, they smell good, but they're no longer the supernatural. You know, I'm reminded about this as we look over all the different denominations that are in America. How many of you know there are 200 denominations in America? I'm just going to read a few of them for you. You ready? The Adventists, Advent Church Christian Church, Church of God General Council, Seventh-day Adventists, Amania Church Society, American Ethical Union, American Evangelical Christian Churches, American Rescue Workers, Apostolic Christian Church of America, Apostolic Faith Mission of Portland, Oregon, Apostolic Overflowing Holy Church of God. Ooh, come on now, I got Holy Ghost blunts on that one, right? I got to read that one again. Apostolic Overcoming Holy Church of God. Bam! I mean, yeah. AOHCOG. Say that four times fast. American Baptist Society, American Baptist Churches, USA, Baptist Bible Fellowship International, Baptist General Council or Conference, Baptist Missionary Association of America, Bethel Ministerial Association, Central Baptist Association, Conservative Baptist Association of America, Duck River and Kindred Associates of Baptist Church of Christ. Wow, that's a name. Free Will Baptist is better than No Will Baptist. Hallelujah. Progressive National Baptist Convention, Reformed Baptist, Separate Baptist in Christ, General Association of Separate Baptists, Seventh-day Baptist General Council. Let me see. Berean Fundamental Church, Bible Fellowship Church, Brethren, Brethren, Church of the Brethren, Church of the United Brethren in Christ, Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, Old German Baptist Brethren, Old Zion Church. Don't throw anything at me. This is really getting good. Bavarite Old Catholic Church, North American Old Roman Catholic Church, Polish National Catholic Church of America, let me see, Christian Churches and Churches of Christ, Christian Churches of North America General Council, Christian Congregation, Inc. Oh my goodness, there's just tons of them. Let me see, here we go, here's some others. Foursquare Gospel Church, I like that church, I know that church, they're good folk. Quakers, amen. Religious Society of Friends, conservative. I wonder if there's some that aren't. Friends United Meeting, 5 years meeting. That's the name of their church. Friends, I got to say it again. Friends United Meeting, 5 years meeting. What happens when it turns six? Beachy Amish Mennonite Churches. I just feel the will of God on that one saying beachy. Hello, amen. I just need to get, what's it? Don't throw things. It's not God. African Methodist Episcopal Church, African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, Congregational Methodist, Free Methodist Churches of North America, Primitive Methodist Churches, USA, Metropolitan Community Churches, Universal Fellowship of Missionary Church. Assemblies of God, Elam Fellowship, Independent Assemblies of God International, International Pentecostal Church of Christ, Pentecostal Churches, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, Inc., Pentecostal Church of God, Pentecostal Free Will Baptist Church, Inc., Pentecostal Holiness Church International, United Pentecostal Church International, Pillar of Fire, Brethren Plymouth, Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. I'm talking like I can keep on reading. Here's one. I got to read this one because Swedenborgian Church General Convention. I want to know what that one is. It's amazing to realize how many churches there are out there in America. Man, when I went through Tennessee one time, I went through this back roads of Tennessee, and there was the first church, the second church, the first church of the second church. And then there was names upon names. I'm talking like there's no way to even remember how all of them are named. But I want you to know that actually there is only one church. It is not the church that man has created. Yes, these are denominations, but man created the denominations. There is only one church, and Jesus is the head of that church. And in that, we've got to find out how to identify whether the church that we attend or the church that we know is a church of Christ set up, or it is a church of the natural, a church of the natural or a church of the supernatural. And let me tell you why that is important, because Jesus is coming soon. And the fact is that the Bible says, I think I touched it already, that in the last days, even the elect shall be deceived. There are many people that have started off correctly that have ended up wrongly, that have started off full on fire for God, but have slowly wandered away. They have been brought in through the demonic activity called duplication, or what's the word, Pastor? Not duplication is the word where he fakes it. Counterfeit, thank you. I don't know why I struggle with that word. The devil counterfeits what's real and makes it look good. You've got to be able to identify the two, because what happens is, in the last days, many will be drawn away. So my question for many people, they say to me, are you saying you're the only church? Absolutely not. There are phenomenal churches all over America and all over the world, amen? We're not even considered a big church, amen. We are actually considered a medium-sized church. There are churches of 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. Brother Oyedepo's church, I believe, is right around 1 million people. And they have campuses literally all over the world. The body of Christ is alive. The church is growing. And man, what's exciting about that is recognizing that Christ has established his church. And in his establishing, there will always try to come a counterfeit to try to pull people away from God's will and desire for their life. And in these last days, we've got to pay attention. Turn to someone and say, pay attention. So what's a good church and what's a bad church? How can I identify them, Pastor? You know, most churches will not cover this topic because they don't want to be seen as a church that is saying that they are the one. So I'm making a declaration one more time. We are not the only church, but we are the church. Turn to someone and say, I'm the church. Come on now, we are the collective body of Christ, the body of Christ here called His Tabernacle Family Church. We are the body of Christ, and we have a mandate, and we have a mission that's very clear of where we're going. And in that, we've got to know that God, we are going to remain supernatural. We are not going to retract and go back to something that you have not called us to be. Can I hear an amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this, in my speech and my preaching, we're not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. Shout demonstration. Shout demonstration. Demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith shall not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. You know, I was saying to that lady this morning, I said it was so exciting that you said that coming down the driveway, because that is a sign and a wonder. No man prayed for her in the middle of the night. Jesus showed up at her bedside and opened her ears that she may hear. That is a wonder. How did it happen? I don't know. I wonder how. You see, Christ loves to take our breath away and put wonder in our life, because if not, then we always live as the natural church. The problem with the natural church, it can only do natural things. What God has called his church to be is not natural, but he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So for a natural church, how can we bring heaven to earth? Only the supernatural can be manifested on the earth through the supernatural church. And as the supernatural church, we've got to identify what it looks like, how it works, and how God wants to work through me. Turn to somebody. God wants to work through me. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we do not look at the troubles which we can now see. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things which cannot be seen. For the things we now see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. The church started in Acts chapter 2. Everybody knows that, right? Jesus was very clear. He looked at his disciples in the book of Luke chapter 24, and he said to them very clearly in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of the Father to you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The very first thing that Jesus told the disciples to do when he was getting ready to launch the supernatural church in Acts chapter 2, before that occurred, he said, go stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Don't leave there until you're endued from power on the earth. Until you're endued from power on the earth. No. Until you receive power from people on the earth. Until you receive enough influence because you're a good person on the earth. No. But you shall receive power. How does the power come? Endued with power from on high. What does that mean? That means that you and I cannot acquire the supernatural power of God in the natural manner. You can't get it from another man. It's got to come from heaven above. That Christ has anointed us. He has appointed us. He has given us a call and a mandate. That he has foreordained us. That we'll bring forth fruit and that our fruit shall remain. That we are the church alive and not just sitting back in a seat and saying, well, I went to church this week. But you are the supernatural church that everywhere you go, the power of God is ready to be released. That people will be changed wherever you are because you are the church, the Christ on the planet. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Here's a very important clue. A natural church will not allow the Holy Spirit to move in the building. I've actually sat with pastors, not too long ago sat with a pastor, and he looked at me and I said, you know, your Pentecostal distinction. I said, man, I bet you're going to have some services. He goes, well, not on Sunday mornings. He says, you know, on Sunday mornings we don't want to, you know, offend anybody, and we don't want to make them feel weird, so we're not going to have, like, gifts of the Spirit or anything like that on a Sunday morning. So you're going to entice them in the natural, and their faith is going to be built upon the wisdom of man, but not on the power of God. So what happens when the elect are starting to be deceived, yet they have not experienced the supernatural power of God? They do not have the stability to overcome the devil. You see, we can't play games anymore. These are the last days. Jesus is coming. Before this service is over, the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. The truth is that the rapture can happen right now before this building, before we're out of here. And truthfully, the Antichrist can arrive on the scene, as Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth already proved. He's alive and well on the planet right now. This planet is being set up for the end to come. But we, the church, are still here. We are the salt and we are the light. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherefore it is no good but to be cast under the feet of men and to be trodden. You see, the truth is that God has to have a resurrection of the supernatural church. We've got to have a resurrection of the power of God. We've got to have a resurrection of people that will not be satisfied being part of the natural. We've got to have the supernatural. Amen. Say amen or oh my. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Christ would not even start his church without the supernatural. Remember, if he could have done it without the supernatural, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. They already had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes. They already had all the zealots. They had all these people. They were here already. They had their churches. They had their religions. They had their stuff. And God knew that the natural can never bring the supernatural. Only the supernatural can change the natural. So he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said, I know that if I don't send my son, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. If I don't send my son, if I don't take God out of the supernatural and invade the natural, then there's no way to take the natural and bring them to the supernatural. There has to be an invasion. But when the church retracts because we're afraid of what people are going to think about us, I want you to realize very quickly that we not only lose power, but we lose purpose. You've got to have the supernatural in your life. That's not the plan of man, that's the plan of God. Christ said, tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is why the enemy works so desperately to try to destroy the church. This is why the enemy works so desperately to cause division. This is why Paul said, mark those who cause division among you. Mark them, because they're not working by the supernatural. They're working by the natural. When there is division like that, you will always find a demonic spirit working to destroy the church from the inside out. But I'm here to tell you today, as a son of God and as a student of the word of the Lord, that Christ said when they were in one accord and in one place, that God by his spirit came down in a supernatural manner to launch his church. That is the only way to launch his church. He did not start his church saying, let's sing kumbaya. He did not start his church saying, boy, we should have a constitution and bylaws. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem. For 10 days they sat there. They didn't just sit there. They waited on the Lord. for a promise that they didn't even understand, but they knew this, that if it came from the Father, it's always going to be good. Can I hear an amen? And all of a sudden, on that day that it was fully come and they were in one place and in one accord, the Bible makes a declaration that, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared upon them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each of them as they were filled. Do I shout filled? Shout filled. As they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to see this now. Jesus, the head of the church, would not start the church without a supernatural manifestation of his design and his desire. When they waited, when they tarried, when there was no division, all of a sudden, suddenly, the Holy Ghost filled the room. Doors were shut, windows were shut, and the Bible says that the wind came in there like a mighty rushing wind, and the Spirit of God invaded their presence. I'm telling you now, if the church does not get invaded by the Holy Ghost, then it is not a church. It is just a place that we call community. We've got to have the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came, filled the room, and tongues of fire, purity, power, empowerment came upon them, and they began to do something they had never done before. They began to do something supernatural. They began to speak in other tongues. The Bible says, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Power came on them. Dunamis. The Bible says the word dunamis means a supernatural ability to do something that naturally you cannot. Before he started, all of this had to occur. Why? Because Christ was not interested in starting another religion. He was interested in building his family. He was interested in building his church. And the church without the Holy Ghost is not a church. I knew one person said, you know what, a businessman walked up to him and said, you know you want to build a new building. I'll help you build your new building, but no Holy Spirit in the morning. I don't want to freak anybody out. No Holy Spirit in the morning. And the pastor actually rescinded and said to the Holy Spirit he was not allowed to be there on Sunday morning, but the man got his church building built. But I want you to know you can have a building and not have a church. The fact is, the church is the body of Christ, who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, who are so passionate for the supernatural. The Bible says that we should lust after spiritual gifts, that we should so desperately want God to move in our midst, that we are unsatisfied and unhappy with living in the natural world. I'm not going to go and clock in for my hour and clock out. I've got to have God touch me. I've got to have a move of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to touch him before I leave, and he's going to touch me before I leave. When you get that in your spirit, it goes from being a religious obligation and a religious mandate, a religious place that you visit on a Sunday morning. It starts being what it's called to be, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the Holy Ghost-filled sons and daughters of God who have mandate and purpose to fulfill God's destiny for this place in this region. Signs and wonders are normal. We've made them so abnormal. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'm sorry. I'm here to offend you. I'm not going to offend you with my words. I'm going to offend you with the Word of God. Listen, I'm not going to bow. Somebody said to me once, well, you know, you should just agree with that. No, I'm not going to agree with that because it's not the Bible. God will anoint his Word. He does not anoint intentions. Ooh, that is good. You want to write that one down. God anoints his words. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are pneuma, they are spirit, and they are zoe. They are the God kind of life. So as we're speaking the word of God, even now, as you're under the shot of my voice, and your ears are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church, it is getting into your spirit in a supernatural way. It is not just you listen to a preacher, preach a little bit loud and move a little bit on the floor and say a nice little saying, but supernaturally, God's Spirit is penetrating you. Supernaturally, the word is giving you life. Supernaturally, he's convicting. Supernatural, he's realigning. Supernaturally, he's healing. Supernaturally, he's delivering. If you will receive the word of the Lord, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The church must be supernatural. Signs and wonders are normal. Many times we pray for people and we're kind of hoping it works. That's not faith. Somebody said to me once, are you one of those hyper? Run, baby, run. Somebody said to me, are you one of those hyper faith preachers? And I said, absolutely. Well, they meant it derogatory, but the Bible says, if you want to please God, you got to have faith. So, baby, I want so much faith. Call me hyper all you want. That means I'm making daddy happy. Can I hear an amen? I want to believe if God says it, it is so. If God says he can do it, he will do it. If God says yes, it is yes. If God says no, it is no. I'm going to walk the way of God and obey him, obey his voice. Why? Because when you walk in obedience, you'll find the Holy Ghost always showing up, and God's Spirit will validate his word with signs and wonders following. Signs and wonders saturated the first church. Acts chapter 3, the man at the gate, beautiful. He was, they don't know if he was paralyzed or just, he was not able to walk. They would set him there and he would collect beggings all day long, alms. One day, Peter and John walked up by and they looked down and he's begging still. And he looked up at them. I'm sure he was expecting to get some money. And they said this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And they reached down and they grabbed his hand. And this man who'd been paralyzed, this man who'd been disabled for 40 years, jumped to his feet, started running around and praising God, and ran into the temple. And it drew a lot of attention. And Jesus, his name was preached, and lives got changed. And let me show you something. The moment that they started doing the signs and wonders, the persecution also began. You want to know why you need power? Why you need the Holy Ghost? Why you cannot ever surrender the supernatural for the natural? Because in the end days, we're going to see persecution like we have never seen before. I want to remind you that the persecution that Christ experienced was never from the sinner. It was always from the church. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they said, wow, he preaches with such authority. And he had signs and wonders. Do you remember he even healed a man on the Sabbath day and they tried to make him feel like a bad guy? They tried to throw him over a cliff. All because he preached the gospel with authority and with power and with anointing, and souls got changed. I want you to hear me now. You've got to have and become that supernatural church, unstoppable. Why? Because in the last days, as the enemy is amping up, you are going to find accusation as Joseph experienced. You're going to find people that are going to make up things about you as it happened to Joseph. You're going to have as it was even with Jesus. They tried to throw him over a cliff. And if you are not filled with the power of God, you're going to struggle. How do I know that? Paul said it. We've read the verse. Man, I did not come to you with the power, with the excellency of speech, but with the power in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. You need the power of God when people are turning against you. You need the power of God when people are trying to hurt you and wound you. You need God to show up in the scene. That is the supernatural that you must have in your life. If you are ever going to be the supernatural church, you better get used to it. People aren't always going to like you. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, another wonder that struck the church. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. This is one we don't like to talk about in church these days. Makes people uncomfortable. It should make us uncomfortable. Because this is not my church, this is not your church, this is his church. And the Holy Ghost, the supernatural power of God, is the one who's working with the church right now. Man, these two, they went out and sold a piece of property. When they sold the land, they came back. Her husband came back. The husband came back first, Ananias, and he gave it to Peter, and he lied. He said that he gave it all. Well, you know what? There was no requirement to give any. But he wanted someone to see what money he had. When money tries to draw people aside, it always brings them in the ditch. So all of a sudden, man, he's sitting there, and Peter looks at him and says, "Man, well, you haven't lied to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost." And he literally dropped dead in the church. A few hours later, his wife came in. They had already buried her husband. She came in, and Peter said, "You know what? Your husband was here. You know, is what he said true?" "Oh, yeah, she lied too." Boom. He said, "The same ones that buried your husband are getting ready to bury you." Man, there needs to come a fear of God again on the body of Christ. Because the truth is that this is not our church. And when you start attacking the kingdom of God, you're going to get yourself in a bunch of hurts. Can I hear an amen? God is going to back it up. And God's going to do what he does. It's time for Ananias and Sapphira to happen again in the church to try to bring a wonder back to the body of Christ. And the fear of the Lord, come on now, needs to return to the kingdom of God. Say amen or oh my, I'll say it myself. Acts chapter 5, verse 15, Peter's shadow healed the sick. Acts chapter 9, 36 through 41, Tabitha was raised from the dead. Acts chapter 12, 7 through 17, Peter literally was put in prison and he was led out by an angel. He was sitting there in stockades and the angel walked over and tapped him on the shoulder. "Hey, yo, it's time to get up, man. Let's go. We got to get out of here." And so all of a sudden, his stuff popped off and the angel literally led him out of the prison. I actually knew somebody who that happened to. He was in Russia, actually it was Romania, and it was back when they had all the fences up and they couldn't leave Romania, and Christianity was illegal. And this guy, I'm trying to remember his name as I'm talking, came to our Bible school and said the Holy Spirit told him to get up in the middle of the night, and literally the angel walked him past the guard post, opened the gate for him as he exited the country and came into freedom. And then the Holy Spirit did the same thing with his entire family, and they were there preaching the gospel. Oh, I almost had his name. I just saw it right there a second ago. And man, all of a sudden, they are out preaching the gospel all over the place. The power of God. God moves by the supernatural. Can I hear an amen? Acts 16, 16 through 18, Paul casts out a demon from a psychic. Remember the counterfeit. Some of you go to psychics. Man, I want you to realize that's the counterfeit. What is the purpose for a psychic, a palm reader? What is the purpose for these people that sit back and are what we call soothsayers or people that read crystal balls and read tea leaves? And we can go through all the lists of them that they do. The Bible says that they are the counterfeit for the supernatural gifts of God. And God said, "I damn them, I condemn them, they will never see heaven." But what happens is those who, watch this, is powerful. Because signs and wonders shall confirm the preaching of the word. That as you go to one of these people, they tell you the truth. And now you take your eyes off of Jesus, you put your eyes on your medium, and now you're damned for hell because now you're facing not where Christ is. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The psychic and medium is not the author or finisher of your faith. You need to fix your eyes on Jesus and get a word from God, not a word from the devil. Can I hear an amen? Paul was bit by a venomous snake in Acts chapter 28, and it didn't even harm him. Wonders are normal. Acts chapter 2, people speaking in other tongues. "Well, I don't understand." Well, I don't think it's for you to understand. It's for you to receive. And this gift is for you and for your children and for all those that are afar off, all according to my name. If you're born again, Christ has a gift for you, and I've never seen God give bad gifts. Can I hear an amen? The Bible said every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God's got a gift for you that will empower you, that will give you the dunamis, supernatural power, so that you can walk a new walk with Jesus. Now, does it make you a better Christian if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues? No, it doesn't make you a better Christian, but it makes you a more powerful Christian. The example I love to give, and I might preach it in a few months, is that I take a chainsaw and I take a man with an axe. I remember Bruce doing this one. Took a log and put a log out and had Bruce. Now he's a little chunky, and Bruce was cutting that. He'd agree. He's cutting that log, man, with that axe. And after about five or six swings of that axe, you know, He's a hurting puppy. Man, he's huffing and he's puffing and he's groaning and he's staring at me like, am I done yet? And I said, no, keep going. I just wanted to push him. Sometimes you got to get pushed to get where you're supposed to be. All of a sudden, I said, hold on now, let me get that. I walked over, grabbed the chainsaw, pumped that thing, and blue smoke started filling the sanctuary. And I went down to that same log he'd been working hard at. That means he's a lumberjack, but so am I. But I got more power, and I cut that log in half within seconds while he was swinging for all he could swing and getting all tired out. The Bible says the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the supernatural church is going to give you the ability that is not of natural, but is of the supernatural. We are the supernatural church. Acts chapter 4, they were praying, and all of a sudden the place that they were praying was shaken. Man, I don't know about you, man. I'm praying for that stuff. Now, I've been in some pretty powerful services, but I can't wait for the building that I'm in starts to shake because we know how to pray. We pray in the power of heaven, and God shows up on the scene. I want you to know that in the sign of the church, remember I told you about that book, the autopsy of a dead church. One of the autopsy evidences of a dead church was quiet prayer. The place where they were all of a sudden started shaking. Well, you know, that's back in the Bible days. Oh, I remember 1906. There's a man called William Seymour, an African-American. Now, listen now, you got to realize back in the days in 1906, the African-Americans did not have the same place that they do in America today. In fact, when William Seymour went to Bible college, he could not even sit in the same room as the white Bible college students. But he got a call one day from California. And that call was, I want you to come preach at my church. He got out to California and he stood in that church pulpit and he started preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, about how we got to get to be a supernatural church, not a natural church, how God wants to endue you with power from on high. And as he started preaching, the power of God was being released. People were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, listen, there were so many people that the literal porch on the outside of that house collapsed from the weight of all the people trying to get in the building. He came back to church that night and the doors were literally padlocked. So here he is. He had this place to preach. God was moving in a supernatural way and they didn't want the supernatural. Sometimes the supernatural makes you uncomfortable. It should. Why should it? Because it's not the physical normal. After a while, when you start living in the supernatural is normal to you. And when you don't see God starting to move, you're like, what in the world? That's not right. But so many of us want to feel so comfortable in our own lives and control our own lives that when it's time for God to start moving, we start doing what that woman did, the woman preacher. She padlocked the door against William Seymour. He had to make a decision. Am I going back to Texas? Nope. He went down to Azusa Street, and he found an old horse barn. Ha, my God. You see, God don't care where the building is because you're the building. And all of a sudden, when you're the supernatural church, the supernatural follows you. Can I hear an amen? The supernatural follows you. And all of a sudden, he started preaching. Come on now. His pulpit wasn't pretty. His pulpit was literally stacks of chicken crates. And all of a sudden, he started preaching, and the power of God started coming, and people walking on the street that were not even coming to church were going out in the spirit as they're walking down the road. They don't even know what's happening to them. They're going out in the Holy Ghost, walking down the street that are drawn into the house of God. Two times the fire department was called because as he's preaching and the supernatural power of heaven is being released, all of a sudden there's a fire that showed up on top of the building. Now, you don't believe me? Go back to the archives, look it up online. There were newspaper reports on all of this. I'm not talking Christian newspapers. I'm talking non-Christian newspapers. The fire department showed up at the church to put out the fire, but you cannot put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? There was nothing to put out because God was moving by his power. Miracles, healing, signs and wonders. God, with the supernatural church, was unstoppable. I love that. See, this is what Jesus desires. But we live in a world today where we want to be relative. If you want a relative, go get a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, an uncle or not. But at some point in time, you've got to say to yourself, oh, thank you. I want all God has, which means you must decrease so he can increase. I love this one. The supernatural church is always on the move forward. Why did I move your chairs this morning? I got complaints from the youth department because they moved them. You were blessed? Well, awesome. Let's move them right after service. Oh, they are. No lie, huh? Why did I move your chairs? Because some of you naturally come in and sit in the same seat you have for all of these years. You naturally are used to the song that Mackenzie's going to start singing. You naturally sit there with either your hands in your pocket, or maybe you're up at the altar, but you're in the same location. And you change nothing. We've learned to live so much in our natural world because we can control it, that the supernatural has no place. But without the supernatural, what are we really here for? What can we change? We can be benevolent. We can be thrifty. We can help a few people. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you can give them $1 million and they're still going to the lake of fire. You can still put food in their pocket and they're still going to be hungry. For unless you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you won't be filled. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We've got to have an epiphany. We've got to have a revelation. We've got to have God move in our life again to stir the supernatural. Sadly enough, most don't get stirred to the supernatural until trouble comes into their life. Don't wait for trouble. Live the supernatural so when trouble shows up, you can trouble your trouble instead of trouble troubling you. Amen. So what is the natural church? We see this best in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. There were literally seven churches. And Jesus starts to prophesy to John. He starts to bring the revelation to John the apostle as he is on the Isle of Patmos. And as all of a sudden the revelation is coming, John sees Jesus standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. The seven candlesticks resemble the seven churches. They represent the seven churches. Now there are seven of them, literal churches. If you look up in history, you will find them. Two were good, Smyrna and Philadelphia, and five were bad. Jesus also said, in my hands are the seven stars. The seven stars represent the seven pastors. And the speaking of Christ to the seven churches was first speaking to the pastors, because where the pastor is, the people go. That's why the church you go to wraps up your destiny. The five churches that were negative, Christ spoke to them. What was amazing was he didn't come off and start condemning them right off the bat. This is what he said. I see that you've done some good works. You even stood up against evil. That's what he told them. You did nice things, you did good things, and you stood against evil. There was even some bad doctrine coming into one of the churches, and they stood against it and said, no, we won't allow the bad doctrine in. But what's amazing to me is this. Jesus didn't stop there. He said, yes, you did good works, but we're not saved by works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. Can I hear an amen? That is the only way to get to heaven. There is no other name under heaven whereby shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. These people were in a church that was about to be extracted. He said to the church of Ephesus, but I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. No, you didn't. You didn't have your first love stolen. You left it. Do you remember when we were talking about Demas? Paul said, pray for me. Demas has left me because he's loved the world more. Demas left the supernatural to go back to the natural. Whenever you leave the supernatural, you always got to go back to what you know. And all you know is what you can do. It's not greater is he that's in you. It's greater what you can do. I can do all things through Christ. No. I can do all things for whatever I can do. Whatever I can figure out. Whatever I can deduce. This is why there are so many people in church that are so frustrated with God. But they're actually not frustrated with God. They should be frustrated with themselves. Because what they've done is they've extracted God, the supernatural King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they've replaced themselves as God and said, as long as I get it, I'm good. Amen or oh my. It's good preaching this morning. My daughter was going to go intern at a church. Mega church. Said the name, you'd all know it. Called down there, and the pastor there told her, the one she was going to work with, told her we don't allow the Holy Spirit to move on Sunday morning because we don't want to make anybody uneasy. My daughter, she was raised in this house.
I ain't going there.
You got to make a decision in your own life. Do you want to live in the supernatural and be stunted by everything you do? Or do you want to live in the supernatural power of God where there's nothing impossible for you? Do you want to live in the word of God that is alive and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Or do you want to be a person that goes to church? I did my thing. Click, click. I did my clock time. He looked at the church. Be zealous, therefore. Repent, return to your first works, or I'm going to remove your candlestick. You know what he told them? You don't put me first back in your life. You don't put the supernatural as your priority. You're not going to heaven. I'm removing your candlestick. Ooh. Not the kind of message you use to grow a church. Did you ever notice that Jesus cleaned his own church out pretty quick? John chapter 6, go home and read it. He looked at them, a multitude of people were following him with his 12 disciples. He looked at them and he says, to be part of me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He was talking about what was going to happen on Calvary. Well, they didn't understand it. So they started murmuring amongst each other. Division. Mark them. Mark a divider and you'll save your soul. Oh, I'm not kidding you either. And all of a sudden, we're looking at the scene and it all unfolds in such a bad manner. We choose whether we're going to be people of the supernatural or people of the natural. We choose if we're going to move in the power of God. He then speaks of the church of Laodicea. I'm almost done. Speaks of the church of Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 14. And he says to them, listen, you're clothed on the natural, but you're naked in the spiritual. You can see in the natural, but you're blind in the spirit. You're rich in the natural, but you're poor in the spiritual. He said, listen, because you are neither hot nor cold, but you are tepid, lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. See, the natural church is okay with God as long as it doesn't take too much of their time. Or if conviction comes on their life. if all of a sudden God starts doing wonders that you just sit back and going, I have never seen that. I'm praying that God will use me in the gift of the laying on of hands for men that are bald. I do know a guy. No, I want to have hair grow. I do know a guy who, he's from Australia, and God used him in that gift. All men that wanted their bald heads to grow hair. Now, not all men want bald heads to grow, but if they did, he laid hands on them, and their hair would grow. Supernatural. And I remember a man saying to me, he goes, well, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't understand. I says, it's called a wonder. The Bible says, Jesus, you couldn't even fill all the books of the signs and the wonders that Jesus did. I said, who do you want to get glory, Hair Club for Men or Jesus Christ? But the natural church just wants to come, clock in their hour, clock out. There's no conviction. There's no strong moving of the Holy Spirit. Am I saying they're not going to heaven? Nope, I'm not in the position to say that. But I will tell you that if Jesus wasn't okay with starting his church without the supernatural, why are we? If Jesus wouldn't even launch the first message for Peter to stand up and preach without him being baptized in the Holy Ghost, then why would we want your preacher to get up without the Holy Ghost? There's a place called intolerance. And there are certain things that I'm intolerant of. I'm always intolerant of division because it only hurts people. I'm always intolerant of church that has no authority and no power and doesn't preach the gospel. Because just because a name is on the door doesn't mean they're a church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such people, turn away. A verse that a lot of pastors use. I do want to apologize to you. First service, I'm really constrained. If you want a shorter sermon, come first service. First service. There is a verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that a lot of preachers use to see souls saved. And it goes like this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. And a lot of preachers use that and then give an altar call. But I want you to see the context of that verse. He wasn't talking to lost people. He was talking to his church. The natural church started with Christ in the church. And then to be relative and accepted by the community, put Christ outside the church, his church. So Jesus now has to knock. Hey, can I come back in? Can I come back in? Some will, some won't. Five didn't, two did. Wide is the gate, and narrow is the path. When we understand this, it changes everything from being just a church experience where I come in and thank God for the smoke and thank God for the lights and thank God for Mackenzie, thank God for the beautiful in the back and the cameras, and thank God for the chairs that are plush and the air conditioning, thank God there's a clock that he doesn't pay attention to. I went to church at 9 or I went to church at 11. You know, I did my thing. It was good, I guess, you know. Your life never, listen. When you understand the supernatural church and who you are, when you understand the call of God that's on your life, when you understand the power that needs to be released through your life to change other people's lives, when you understand that one shall put 1,000, but two shall put 10,000, when you understand when the corporate body comes together, the Bible declares, blessed is that place. God will pour out the commanded blessing on the body of Christ. This is not about church for me. We are the supernatural church. When you need healing, you don't want to go to a natural church. They might give you a few tea leaves. Oh, God, I pray you'll bless this tea. But when you're sick, you don't need tea. When you're sick, you need the Holy Ghost. Come on now. When you're not sure where to go, right hand or left, you need the Holy Ghost to speak into your life. You need the prophetic word of God to be declared over you. When you're being oppressed by the devil and you're dealing with such oppression that you've even contemplated, as the devil has spoken to you, to kill yourself, you don't need another drug. You need the Spirit of God to cast that devil off, because Jesus, he whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. We need the supernatural church. And we can't settle. And I'm telling you right now, we're in a season and a time of the church world that if the church doesn't wake, God will skip them. God is skipping churches. Do you realize the devil doesn't even go to every church? He doesn't need to. They don't perform any type of threat. Do you realize the devil can counterfeit a church? But anything that is started outside of the plan and the will of God according to his word is nothing more than a counterfeit. It can even look good. We've got to make decisions in our lives. I've made mine a long time ago. I'll be honest with you. I'll just say it. Didn't say it first service, I'll say it second. Amen. You don't have to take the baby out. Baby's fine. Okay, yeah, I'm good, man. I don't mind babies crying in the sanctuary. That means they're in the anointing. The first person that would leave this church, if the Holy Spirit left, would be me. Why? There ain't enough money in any of your bank accounts to take care of me. There's not enough popularity, because there's far more abuse than popularity. There's only one reason my wife and I are here. That is because we've been sent by God. That's the only reason, because I like warmth. Sent by God to the Northeast, to this town, to this region, to bring a message that is uncompromised. I know what that means. Hell is coming. That's life. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We've got to know and recognize that if we're going to be the church, you're not going to be liked by everybody anymore. Some of you want to be so liked by your friends, you're willing to compromise the word of God. And you think that it's just being relative. You try, you know, if you sit with them long enough, they're going to listen to you. They've already discounted you because they see you as them. When we are exactly how the world is, there's no place for them to go. But yet when we are not like them, they would rather us be a drunk, a whoremonger. They would rather us destroy families. A thief. They would rather us be something that they themselves would hate, because they see you become something who Christ has called you to be. And you've got to make a decision. Do I really want to be born again, sold out for Jesus? Or do I just want to be friendly and everyone like me? You can be benevolent and not go to heaven. Be zealous, therefore, repent, return to your first works, or I'll remove your candlestick. And I challenge each one of us. This is a unique year for us as His Tabernacle Family Church. 20 more minutes, we're out of here. I'm just kidding. It's a unique year for His Tabernacle Family Church. Because last year was next level. We pushed you and pushed you and pushed you. We had actually people leave the church because of that whole sermon series. Yeah, push. They said, no. We'll go to a church where we can just go and feel peace and relax. Well, I'm sorry, it's not the place to feel peace in. You have your peace inside. That's where the Holy Spirit abides. I'm here to push you. I'm here to spur you on. I'm here to equip you, bring you to unity, and bring you to maturity. And how many of you have been spanked by your parents? No, they just put me in the corner. Sometimes that's worse. But I'm here to tell you, we've got to grow. Turn to somebody and say, you got to grow. Tell somebody else, you got to grow. This is the year we're in. We are unstoppable, the supernatural church. Or we are stoppable because we are the natural church. I love what Joshua says. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. Because you see, this is one of those kind of messages that no one can answer it for you but you. I choose. Personal. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I love you. I'm going to hit you, grab you, spank you, slap you, lick you, drag you. I used to lick people's foreheads. I'm not going to do that anymore. Do whatever I got to do to get you where you need to go. You're going to love me. You're going to hate me. Do you know something? If I can get you to start walking in the supernatural, everything changes around you. Nothing is impossible if you only believe. Amen? Father, I just thank you so much that your word is so clear. Lord, we're not here to condemn. We're only responsible for us. God, here we choose at His Tabernacle Family Church, we will always be the supernatural church, and we are unstoppable. Not because, God, we are in our own might, but because, Jesus, unless the Lord builds a house, the labor is in vain. Jesus, you started this back in 1998 with five people. Lord, you brought us out of the Holiday Inn into the square of Horseheads for 1 year. You supernaturally blessed us with a building on Old Ithaca Road that was absolutely impossible. Then, God, you sent a man who gave 3 years of his life, and he built it for whatever the church could give him. You then sent us to the school on Broad Street as the church began to increase and mature. Then, God, you gave us this 25 acres of land. And you put the building on it, Jesus. And you filled the house. And, God, I thank you that there are churches in Ithaca, Mansfield, Canada, Kentucky, West Virginia, Mexico. We declare in the name of Jesus that as the builder of your house, you will always receive all the glory and all the honor. But God, confirm your word with signs and wonders following. God, confirm your word with miracles. Confirm your word with the signs and wonders that you talked about in Acts chapter 12. Jesus, magnify your name that you will be lifted up and draw all men to yourself. Thank you for the new building. Thank you, God, in the light of eternity, it's completed. God, we give you all the praise this morning. With everyone's eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then the only thing you have is the natural. If you could have saved yourself, you already would have. If you could have saved yourself, God wouldn't have had to send His Son. But God sent His Son because He loves you and desires you, wants to wash your sins away, wants to call you son and daughter of God. He wants to give you the right to the keys of the kingdom that you can enter into the very, very citizenship of heaven. That you can have the blessings that God will provide for you, that God will heal you, that God will deliver you, that God will protect you, that God is on your side and nobody else can be against you. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to know Christ. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not going to wait long. Is there anyone here that wants to receive Jesus? 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm really not overwhelmingly shocked that people didn't get saved today, because I believe this is a message for the body of Christ, not for somebody that's a sinner. It's a time we've got to ask ourselves a question. Am I in or am I out? March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31. My youth pastor called me into the pastor's office while the pastor was preaching. He sat me down and he said, "Spencer, you've been in church your whole life. Make a choice. Get in or get out." I said, "No one's going to tell me to get out." Listen, if you're rebellious at your core, rebel towards God, not away from God. Amen? Rebel against the devil. You'll kick him in the teeth, baby. Come on, be rebellious against Satan. Be submissive to God. Man, from that day forward, I'm not a perfect person in any way, shape, or form. I've done my own faux pas. But the fact is I love God, and I'm going all the way with him. And if I fall down, I'm getting back up. Can I hear an amen? But I have that because I have a supernatural God dwelling inside of me. And with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Prayer team's coming around the front of the altar right now. If you need prayer for anything, you're sick in your body, whether you need deliverance, no matter what your need is, God is able to do abundantly above all you can even ask or imagine. 110 AAAI. I'm sorry, that's my own thing. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Minister Randall's right here. We'll pray for you for the baptism. And I just want to see your lives transform in Jesus' name. Be blessed. See you next week. We love you. Don't forget the annual business meeting, 7:45, next Sunday morning. Go to the foyer and make sure you tell them you're coming so we know we have enough food.
Your name, it's a gift. We cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name, your great name. We love to call your name. It's something we cannot.